New spying allegations. I wonder how often I'm going to say that this year. New spying allegations. These are documents that were obtained by the New York Times, and they claim that Australia's Signals Directorate listened to the conversations of an American law firm that was advising Indonesia on tactics for trade negotiations with the US. Now, what does this have to do with Australia, and why would we be listening in on something like that? Well, of course, the government will not confirm that that's what indeed happened, but the documents seem to show that. And then they showed that the Australia's Signal Directorate referred to US customers, which raises the question, if that's all true, are we spying for commercial reasons? It seems to be the focus. You can imagine that people in Indonesia might be a little miffed, but let's see whether or not this is actually going to affect relations between us and Indonesia. I'm joined now by Indonesia's former Defence Minister, Dr. Juwono Sudarsono. Thank you very much for joining us, Dr. Juwono. The Prime Minister of Australia has said we do not do commercial spying, that it's only about security, and that's the only response really he's given to the report in the New York Times. Do you believe what the Prime Minister said?
I think it's very difficult to separate the issue of intelligence sharing and commercial. Both fields are interrelated. It's very difficult to verify or deny, but the things can be separated very firmly. There is always an interface between sharing as well as commercial use.
Sure, but there must be, I imagine there's some overlap, but there has to be a point, doesn't there, where a trade negotiation is a million miles away from a terrorist threat.
Yes, but if you look at the experience with China, you see also that there's a very close interface between security issues with the banking system in China and its relations with the commercial interests in the United States in this part of the world.
The other issue that's raised by this centrally for Australians is what this means for our relationship with Indonesia. Do you think this will harm the Australia-Indonesia relationship?
I think it may for the time being, maybe for the next week or so, it may become a problem, but I'm sure in the end, both sides will agree that the interface between security as well as trade relations will have to be surmounted in due course.
Well, you say due course. You mentioned it'll cause a problem for a week or so. Is it really no longer than that?
I think it's a passing issue, one of many issues.
I'm interested in knowing these tensions between Australia and Indonesia that we're seeing in public at the moment. Are they a big issue in Indonesia? Do people in Indonesia pay any attention to them?
At the moment, we're very focused about the issue of the volcanic eruptions. They are not really concerned about foreign relations. People in Java are particularly more concerned with the issue of the volcanic eruptions in Sumatra and in East Java. And all these issues, including climate change and trade issues, are been subsumed under the very immediate concern about natural disasters.
Dr. Juwono Sudarsono, thank you very much for your time. He's a former defence minister. Listening to that interview has been Ross Taylor, the president of the Indonesia Institute, Western Australia-based NGO that promotes good relations between the two countries. Ross, given your brief to promote good relations between the two countries, are you feeling a bit under pressure?
Probably not as much as our politicians at the moment, but it certainly has been a very interesting 6 months, to say the least.
I can imagine. Now, this latest allegation, I suppose what's interesting about it is that it would seem to reveal that we're spying not just for security reasons, which is what we're constantly told that we're spying for, but we're also spying for commercial reasons. Now, the response that we just heard from the former Defence Minister of Indonesia is that, well, it's very hard to disentangle these two things. What do you make of that?
Oh, yes, I agree entirely, and I think it's obviously made so much more complicated because the lack of information for security reasons and also, I guess, for the desire that that our government doesn't want to inflame the situation further. So when you put those two together, I think for most commentators and Indonesia watchers, it's very, very hard to decipher other than to say that combined with the turn back the votes policy, putting that together, has really created this fairly difficult situation where we've now had the Indonesian ambassador to Australia on a 10-week holiday in Jakarta.
Yeah, and I want to come back to, you know, the dynamics of that relationship in a moment, but just because I genuinely want to understand this idea that security and commercial interests seem to be conflated in this way, what is the security threat that would cause us to want to spy on what Indonesia's doing in a trade negotiation with the US?
Well, I think the only, and this is only speculation, I think the only reason that we would want to do that, it would be for some reasons that we are seeking to gain some commercial advantage, which I would believe that our government would find abhorrent if that was the real reason. Other than that, I really can't see of any benefit in that sort of undertaking at all.
Do you buy this idea that we often hear that states that watch this happen, they have to get angry in public, but privately they all know this goes on, and so they're not actually really anywhere near as upset as they seem to put on?
Well, I think if you look at the whole spying issue from when it first started, and if you talk to the broad spectrum of Indonesians that I do from the village up, the concept that Australia would be spying didn't seem to be the issue that really riled people. What really upset most was the fact that the president's wife, Ibu Ani, was spied upon. And that really touched deeply into the heart of Indonesians because, like most people, they really couldn't see what reason would be to advantage Australia by that undertaking.
Now, the context for this is that there are elections in Indonesia throughout this year, the parliamentary elections and presidential elections as well. How much of this is really being whipped up for the purposes of domestic politics?
Well, I think what Australians need to understand, any issue that goes to the heart of Indonesian sovereignty, I've had people say to me, I think Indonesia just need to get over this threat to their sovereignty issue. But if you look at Australia, I think in fairness to Indonesians, we've not been invaded by foreigners like Indonesia have. You know, they've been occupied together for an excess of 340 years. So given the fact they have now got independence, they're a vibrant democracy, I think if you look at it in that context, you can really see that this is a very sensitive issue for Indonesians. So I think that was the starting point. And so really from the village level right to the politicians, anything that is perceived to threaten Indonesian sovereignty is understandably, in my view, a very, very sensitive issue.
But where does this put the relationship then? Because at the moment, the relationship seems to be, at least as far as the public can tell, in something of a state of disrepair. But of course, SBY is the president at the moment, and he really, really seems to like Australia. Whoever we get after the presidential elections, we don't know who that is, they're not as likely to like Australia as much as he does, at the very least. Does that impact?
No, I think that's right. And I think that the whole issue now is enormously complicated. If just for a moment I can just break it into little bits,
sure,
to help everyone understand that. The hard line that Prime Minister Abbott has taken on Turn Back the Boats, and I've written in the Australian newspaper about this and others, that if the Turn Back the Boat policy per se is successful in the long term, that will be good for Australia, and the reality is it will also be good for Indonesia, because if people can't come to Australia, they will not come to Indonesia. And this is notwithstanding the human or humanitarian issue. We'll put that to one side just for a moment. So everybody knows that. And also Prime Minister Abbott has said that he will turn back the boats, whatever the cost. And I just wonder whether we as a community, and also the Prime Minister and his government, have really sat down and just said, well, indeed, what is that lost opportunity cost? And I think that's the great unknown at the moment, that no one really knows what will happen. And I think Mr. Abbott's view and his advice probably is that, look, you can actually get away with this at the moment because, to use my metaphor, Starship Indonesia's on autopilot at the moment because they're heading into their election. SBY will certainly go, we know that. The probability is Martti Nattelgauer probably will go as foreign minister as well. So the bet, if you like, the DFAT, and I assume the government are taking, is that, look, we can take this very hard line, both on the spying issue and particularly the boats as well, because once the election's done, our bet is that an incoming president will want to rebuild good relationships with all neighbours, including Australia, and by that time we will have really achieved those election pledges that the Prime Minister made. Now the big question is his bet right? And
yeah,
to be honest, I don't know.
And well, it sounds risky to me. It's because you will have then a new president who comes in the context of that tension that has been used for domestic political purposes, perhaps, and therefore they won't necessarily want to disrupt whatever it was that got them there. And particularly if the victor in the presidential elections turns out to be someone like Prabowo, who is a very nationalistic candidate, like that's the whole front that he's putting up, it's very hard to imagine him wanting to appease Australia or soften relations in any way.
No, well, I think both Prabowo and also Jokowi or Joko Widodo, who is the other candidate, both of those will be very nationalistic for probably different reasons. In one respect, I think the paradox could be that if Prabowo was elected, because of his track record, he may in fact, maybe, would want to set out about developing good relationships more so than someone like Jokowi, who would be very internally focused. But I think you're quite right, what you said at the beginning. Whatever way it goes, we will not have a government anywhere near with the warmth and understanding of Australia that we've enjoyed for the last 5 years, or longer, I should say. And in so many respects, when we look at, as I said earlier, the opportunity cost we've paid for virtually a total focus on Schapelle Corby, boats, and Bali, in some respects, it's almost a tragedy in the making.
Well, we'll see. I mean, they're the public dimensions of the relationship. Beneath it are a whole lot of other things that are very productive, you know, education, for example. I mean, there are terrorism cooperation on that. So we'll see. It's a multifaceted relationship and people-to-people links as well, I suppose, which can be boosted. So it's going to be interesting to watch, Ross. Thank you very much for lending us your expertise.
Yes, my pleasure. Any time at all.
Ross Taylor, President of the Indonesia Institute. That's a WA-based NGO that promotes good relations between Australia and Indonesia.